Hello, Sparkies. I'm going to try that out for a minute. The word Sparkies, because as we found out in my Soul versus Ego Smackdown book, we are here to be the spark of light. And to create a spark is our purpose. At least that's the truth as I am seeing it right now. So I feel like it would be fun to call each other the Sparkies. And you are listening to What Would Tracy Sue Do, where we ask better questions about things that matter. So here's a few things that are going on in my life. I am reinventing myself from the ground up, but there are things that have served me for a long, long, long time that I've learned a lot about, and I would like to share something with you because we are coming into the season where it's time to examine, be grateful, take an inventory. We're moving towards Thanksgiving, and there are some processes that I have done every year for, some of them for, 13 years, 15 years. Others of them I've developed along the way. But I can promise you they are fruitful if you're brave enough to partake in them. And so I want to go deep in these. I have created some courses in the past about law of attraction and the soul participation in listening to what you really want. In my coaching practice, the Year of Yes, I did an experiment where I said yes to everything my soul told me to do, no matter what. And that was without knowing the results, without needing a good justification, without questioning and demanding to know the outcome, right? So this was an experiment that I did, and I chronicled that in the Year of Yes, which is a very personal and raw journal, and the release of 40 years of psychic garbage and also learnings, and just was a very deep and, might I say, brave personal inventory. So that is available to you. And based on what I learned that year, I developed the Year of Yes, a coaching program where I did this work with groups and with individuals. Now, I want to share with you the wisdom that I have learned since then. In early 2019, actually 2018, late 2018, I started having resistance about creating a vision board, a dream board. And if you don't know what that is, basically you create a collage of what you want in your life. What do you want to attract? Who do you want to become? And you make this vision board and you put it up and you look at it every day because it's just in your space, right? It's in your bedroom. You're just going to pass it by every day. And maybe you look at it and see what you've attracted, or maybe you look at it and you get super fucking frustrated that it isn't happening. Nonetheless, these are very, very, very effective tools to guide your life, right? Because what they are is intentions. You have laid forth your intention in a communication with God and the universe and yourself and your soul and the people around you. And I cannot tell you how many miracles I have experienced using these. But it became clear to me in 2019 that I was not supposed to do a dream board. This is the first time in 13 years that I have not done a dream board. And it is clear to me that it was because 2019 is a huge recalibration year. It's an enormous year where we close out a cycle, a long cycle, not just of the decade, but of chapters in our lives, relationship patterns, how we see the world, how we live in the world. And when you declare a dream board, you have stated the intention. But it doesn't allow much room for complete recalibration of your entire being, of your entire way of living. So I have taken 2019 as a recalibration year. It has become very, very clear to me that your basic law of attraction techniques are child's play. They're a great way to get started and take baby steps and witness the miracle to develop your faith and belief. But they're ultimately an immature expression for quite a few reasons. And I've been sitting and waiting in silence and terror and frustration and sometimes agony and exhaustion and even despair, but worst of all, apathy. But sometimes that's where you need to go to listen and take an inventory and understand what it is you truly want, how it is you want to be in the world, who you are, who you want to become, and to experience a death, truly, a death of your old self, your old life, what you have outgrown, what you are no longer willing to be or do or have in your experience. When you do this, it is very painful. I don't believe anyone who says that they just woke up one day and then boom, everything was totally different and they came from despair and unhappiness and bad relationships and addiction and without actually taking the journey into their shadow, putting a good, hard light on that shadow, coming to acceptance, coming to an inventory, seeing truths they didn't want to see. If you are paying someone who is telling you that, run away. Don't just walk, run away. Because this is deep spiritual work and it's a real big fucking deal. Because it's the way you're going to shape your life, your experience, your being. So, as you know, I have been moving some content over to tracysue.com, safe space. That's TRACEESIOUX. The fee is nominal. It's basically to cover the expenses. But this allows me to go deeper into subjects, and I definitely want to go deeper into subjects. I am getting flooded with amazing information and intuition and insight and creativity and a urge to share that I'm quite familiar with. But an hour a week on a podcast is not enough for us to go really deep into the nuance and the lessons and the new methods of law of attraction. It also provides me with some privacy, right? I no longer feel that putting myself out there in the way that I did with the Year of Yes and the way that I've done previously online as we've invented the internet and the coaching industry and the personal development stuff, I put everything out there online. And I am discovering that this actually causes spiritual and psychic damage. It opens you up to haters. It allows people to feed on your energy and consume you like a Slurpee. And also allows people who don't have good enough ideas on their own to rip off my ideas, slap their label on it, and be all about yes in the soul in a pretty audacious way. Okay, yes, maybe in the collective consciousness, but that's my hairdo and my shirt, bitch. Get your own material. So this is a safe space for me, and I would like it to be a safe space for you, and I would like it to be a collaborative building. I am going to be putting content on there, like my experiences with psychedelics, my experiences with trauma, deep trauma, that have been affecting my life and causing me to really struggle with identity and productivity. And there are just some experiences that are not meant for public consumption. So one of the things I'm going to be doing on here is creating a course, if you will, in addition to my previous courses, which are still valid information. It's still fantastic information. It is for beginners, right? And their processes I still use today in conjunction with this amazing new energy that is growing and blooming, the spark that people have been creating out of really their own pain and joy and God, even apathy. I'm starting to hear a lot of light workers coming out and finally talking about the soul journey, the dark night of the soul that we have been experiencing in a collective way. Usually they're the light workers who have been blazing a new trail, right? Generally, some people go before others and have the braveness and the courage to go deep, even if it's painful, even if it's agonizing, even if there's loss and grief and trauma involved. Of course, this is so that they can create something bigger and better and light, and it is soul-driven, and it is universe and God and spirit, whatever you want to call it. It is the demand for more light. Not everybody experiences this at the same time because someone has to go first. Someone has to move in that direction. And I just happen to be one of those people, and I always have. And that's been part of my experience in the last few years, is coming to terms with the fact that I don't get formulas and guideposts because I am creating formulas and guideposts. So what I have in terms of law of attraction content is so valid and so applicable today. And now I'm going to take it to the next level with a form of maturity and also warnings, right? Like, law of attraction isn't really a game. It actually comes with a price. There's a price to pay. The universe is a complex, ever-expanding thing, entity, energy, right? So obviously what we know is becoming more and more complex. We are maturing. That is the whole entire story of humanity, is that we learn, we mature, we progress, and that comes with pain of the revolution, right? The revolution is not an easy experience. It is hard won. So I want to share with you the beginning information and the intermediate, expert, next level, mature information. And if you have practiced with me for quite some time, I started doing this really when I was doing the Girl Revolution, which was my parenting advocacy movement for girls. And that's when I began talking about this, and I got way more in depth with it with my Year of Yes coaching program. And now I want to go deeper on a more mature, educated, wise wisdom. That's what I want to say. More wisdom, where I'm not someone who took a course on law of attraction and just went, oh, bing, bang, boom, this is the way to do life. You'll get six figures in a year, da, 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 because I followed the program, the formula that I bought at some coaching package, and then regurgitated and vomited that up, right? That is not how I have done this work. I have studied this. I have experimented with this. I have invested a tremendous amount of energy recording results, recording the outcome of experience, tying these things together, and witnessing other people that I've worked with, other friends, other acquaintances, relationships that I've had, things that I have this gift where I can collect mass amounts of information and then sort of cobble it together and make it into a package, right? A package that's not a formula, but a package where I can communicate to you what is extraordinarily complex in a way that is easy for you to understand and use in the creation of your own life. So this is not a fly-by-night wisdom. I did not discover this a year ago in my, you know, whatever coaching program I paid for. This is not a formula. This includes wisdom that has been hard won and garnered from many sources and put into a framework that I hope you will use to create a more intentional, blessed life. So there are major parts of this that I think they're crucially important, right? There are, I would say, four major pieces of this process that I've used in a sequence that begins in October, November, as we come out of our harvest season. So the universe is cyclical, right? And the cycle is true for the entire duration of the universe. The cycle is one of planting, harvesting, intention, growing, rest. Okay, the earth tells us about the cycle if you live in a place that has seasons. In the spring, well, in January, we have a mass, I mean, like such a ginormous collective consciousness where we reroute our lives. We change our intentions. We set our sight on goals. We take an evaluation of where we are. We notice our discontent and we say, no, I want it to go this way now. Think of the explosion of intention that the universe, that God, spirit, whatever you want to call it, receives of this New Year's resolution, ginormous. I mean, like, think of the billions of people on the planet who are taking part in this in ways large and small. It appears to be across all cultures. We've had this way of being in the dark where we can sit, be quiet, wish for the light, long for the light, and decide what light we want to create. This is the Christmas period, right? This is winter solstice. This is when the days start to become longer after we've had a dark season of exploration and getting quiet and hibernating and being within ourselves. So this is energy that we can and should use, that we are receiving this beautiful blessing from Earth and nature in this cycle. So we move towards the light with winter solstice and Christmas and all of the other religious and cultural celebrations of the returning of the light. And we create these intentions. What light do we want to create in the world now, in our lives now? What new thing do we want to see? Because we've been in the shadow period, right? In the darkness, we can see where we are unhappy, where we wish something were different. And while sometimes that can be painful and shocking, it's also a very sacred experience that allows us to direct where we want our light to go, in what direction, and what results we want to create from that. And that can take many, many forms. It could be, you know, being healthier, losing weight, changing our lifestyle, changing our relationships. And it doesn't have to come from total discontent and horror, but it could be changing a career. It could be a career goal. It could be anything that is something you've discovered in the dark and something you wish were different about yourself or your life, or the world around you. And that is born of the shadow, of the dark side, of the deep parts of your soul that you don't expose to anyone, or you don't even expose them to yourself. So we take this gift of the shadow, of the dark, and we create celebrations around it. We come into January and we create these New Year's resolutions and a plan and a goal, and we head towards that plan or that goal. And then we come into fucking February, right? February, it's still dark. It's still fucking cold. February is the shortest month of the year and the longest fucking month of the year. It's cold. It's wet. Nothing moves forward. We lose our steam around our new exercise and lifestyle plan. The cleanse knocks us off our feet. We just fall into old patterns because patterns are hard to change. Our neuro system is completely wired for these patterns. And to change that is a phenomenal feat. Often we sabotage ourselves. And this is a point I want to make about your dream board, your vision board. We sabotage ourselves by creating too many goals and intentions and changes than is healthy or than is effective, right? If you start the new year with 10 things that you're going to accomplish and you go full force what's going to happen is overwhelm, resistance, anxiety. Like, it's going to create a truly miserable experience. But if you make one goal and you say, I am going to quit smoking, or I am going to stop drinking, or I am going back to school, or I am getting a divorce, or getting married, or having a baby, or whatever it is. These are huge, monumental life changes. And truly, they can only succeed if they become the single focus, the one thing. So we sabotage ourselves right away with the New Year's resolution and the vision board and the intentions by saying, oh, I'm going to do this and this and this. Things, and there are things that truly should take a little bit longer than 1 year, right? And those of us who have done that to ourselves and made this mistake have suffered the consequences, which is burnout. And burnout is not, I need to take a nap. Burnout is not, oh, I should, you know, take a weekend alone in the mountains. Burnout is when your body, your soul, your spirit has been drained dry because of overproductivity and going way too fast and overloading and overwhelming yourself with your own good intentions. And it can last years. You blow out your thyroid, that's a real thing. You've created it, of course, with too many intentions and overwhelm, or however you've created it, over productivity, being a productivity junkie and getting that high of, oh, I knocked all this shit off my list. I know what I'm talking about here, folks, because I have experienced that. And it can last for years. And you have to completely recalibrate your life in order to even keep living that life. So that's one of my major warnings about law of attraction and New Year's resolutions and goals, right? Please listen to me when I tell you that one big thing is what you should truly focus on in a year, or in 3 years, or 5 years, or 10 years. My daughter just turned 18. That is an 18-year intention to parent and raise this girl up to be a strong, independent woman with self-worth and values so that she can live a productive life without selling herself out and letting other people consume her. That is not a one-year program. That is not a formula that even exists. That is something that has to be reinvented because we have never seen that in women before. And I might add that if you've been with me since the Girl Revolution, this system works. I don't even want to call it a system. This philosophy of parenting and the strategies that I and other parents, other mothers, other teachers, other guiding forces in a girl's life, phenomenally successful and so fucking worth it. And add a note to that, the same principles, the same values are just as, if not more, critical for our sons. But my point here is that is a long game, right? With law of attraction, we want to use a long game. The next warning slash advice slash wisdom I want to give you about this is you not only can you create complete havoc out of your life by declaring that you will have too many intentions in a year, you can completely derail your life into mass chaos if you have big intentions created annually. Time is speeding up, my friends. Time is going faster. We are fitting way more things into a 24-hour period than we ever have before. We have far more demands on our attention, our brains, our wallets, our political systems. There's so much information that we are taking in that to redirect your life every year can create a massive, chaotic, fucking disaster. You will destroy your joy if you create a vision board with completely new things on it annually. 12 months is not what we previously had as 12 months, right? This goes back to, theories about timelines and dimensions and, you know, the theory of relativity and Einstein time and, you know, the speed of light. Okay, all of that stuff. You can be in your own body and realize that time feels like it's going so fast that you cannot keep up. We have so many inventions that you have to keep relearning over and over and over in technology. You can't keep up with it. So many new ideas, so many changes. It's just too much. And I have made this mistake. I won't even call it a mistake because for a lot of years it worked because 12 months was a longer period of time according to the experience of time. And I would say that this happened more as you become an adult, but I don't think it's true because my kids talk about time moving faster. And generally, kids just experience time as so slow because it's a greater percentage of their life. But that is no longer true. Kids are now experiencing time in a much faster way because so much more information is coming at them. So my major advice for you in the wisdom of next level wise law of attraction and intention setting is reduce the dream boards, reduce the intentions, reduce the resolutions. And really, we're coming into a totally new decade, a totally new phase, a totally new energy. And it's going to take a minute for us to calibrate that. Create a 10-year vision board. And if you have things changing rapidly in your life, for instance, you're raising young kids and your life phase is going to go faster, right? Or you're in college and your life phase is going to go faster, right? So things are going to change dramatically within the 10 years. So maybe you want to do a 5-year, right? I'm going to graduate from college, get a good job, you know, get married, right? That's a lot of change. And doing that within 5 years is reasonable if you're in that phase of life. Your life is going to change in ways that you can't yet see if you have an infant over the next 5 years, right? So that gets you through infanthood and early childhood into school, right? So in those situations, a 5-year dream board might be all the information that you have, right? Because you don't understand how your life is going to change. And it's unreasonable to expect that you can understand how your life is going to change. If you're pregnant, oh, for fuck's sake, don't even bother with a dream board except for to say, I'd like a happy baby and I would like to have my health during that, right? Because you, if it's your first baby, you cannot conceive of how much change you will experience within your hormones, your body, your value system, what is important to you. There's just no way that you can foresee that because it's such a shocking and dramatic change that is so much out of your control, at least control in the way that you have experienced your life previous to this, that you your dream board is have a baby, figure it out, right? But if you're in a phase of life where you can potentially see 10 years down the road, I recommend a 2020 to 2030 vision board that is mostly empty, that focuses on values you want in your life, major goals that are flexible enough to allow the universe to give you happy surprises and to allow things to happen in your life that are inevitable, right? So maybe someone close to you dies. Maybe you lose a job. Maybe you don't know what's going to happen in 10 years. So leave it loose. So I'll give you an example. Ainsley turned 18. In the spring, she is done with high school. It's a massive life change for her. It's a massive life change for me. A lot of 2019 has been taking an inventory of the last 18 years. I have raised an adult human, a human into adulthood. And that is going to change my life. She's already being accepted into colleges. She's going to start a life somewhere. Maybe that's in our town, Fort Collins, Colorado, and maybe it's in Oregon or Washington or Montana. These are all schools that she's been applying to. She just got her first acceptance letter from, actually they called her, which I understand is rare, to accept her into the College of Environmental Sciences at Oregon Tech. That means that the major primary thing in my life, which has been mothering this child, there will be a vacant spot. And what am I going to fill that with? I'll still have a child at home, but he'll be in high school. You know, he's 13. The shift between childhood to high school is pretty dramatic. He's going to get a job. He's going to drive a car. He's not going to be someone that I have to be present for all the time. So this is a major life change for me. It's a major life change for them. But I can see and start to taste that I will recalibrate my life to less mothering and more being, more choosing how I'm going to live as a woman who is not primarily a mother. So I can see 10 years down the road, and a plan begins to develop around me that includes things like, I don't see myself staying in Colorado after my kids are gone. It's a fantastic place to raise children. I'm so glad we're here right now, but I see myself at the beach. I see myself in a bigger metropolitan city that has more offerings and opportunity for someone like myself, who is, frankly, not a traditional lady, right? I'm a lioness who has cravings for a different kind of community, longings for that. So I can see that I need to make a profit on my home. It's my primary investment. I need to time things properly to make the most money out of my home to start me on this new phase of life. I deeply, profoundly want my children to get through school without student loan burden. That is a fucking shit show, America. What the fuck are we doing to our young people? I don't want my kids to start $80,000 behind. Starting at zero is actually like a profound improvement that will affect their lives forever. I know, because I still carry student loans and that burden. So I can see a picture that is loose, that is an idea, that is built around the life changes that I can see coming because they're inevitable, but that leaves room for me to grow and change my mind. And, you know, I want to move to a beach city. Right now, I think it's a beach city in LA. But saying I want to move to a beach city leaves that open for other potentialities to come into my way of being. Which leads us to another warning, another piece of wisdom that I've learned over the years. Oh, law of attraction coaches love to say specificity, specificity, specificity. I have seen so much fucking disaster and chaos created in people's lives from too much specificity. Demanding a specific piece of land, demanding a specific life partner, demanding a specific job, right? You close yourself off. You shut all of the other potential doors, and you do not allow the universe to show you its wisdom along the way, because now you're just going to have that specific piece of land. You're going to make that specific deal. You're going to have that specific job title at that specific job. You're going to be in a relationship with this specific guy or this specific woman. And this is the most arrogant and stupid thing to do to yourself, because you are such a tiny brain in the entire vast universe, and you are basically shutting the universe's wisdom down from giving you what is going to be better. It is inevitably going to be better than what you're insisting on, what you're demanding, because it is so much wiser. So much wiser. Let me give you an example. So I lived in East Texas. Our family lived in East Texas in a shitty little chicken farm town of 5,000 people. There was zero opportunity for me there. Those people had no idea what to do with a woman like myself. I ended up in constant rooms where people were talking about women obeying their husbands and me just being like, how is this fucking happening in, you know, the 2000s, the 2010s? What the fuck is going on here? Just this very constricted creative energy, just this total shutdown of just fucking intelligence, honestly. Insight, light, intelligence, with this very old-fashioned, very rigid, very unfriendly to actual life environment. And I was miserable. My husband was miserable too, but he is too afraid to make change and is much more likely to remain in discontent than I am. I knew that the only way we were going to get out of that town is if something outside of him looking for a job or me looking for a job, because that shit wasn't going to happen, something outside of us had to move us. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I slapped things on my dream board and I drew pictures of houses and I drew pictures of beaches and I cut them out. But I would read an article and I would say, all right, I want to move to Oregon. I want to move to Portland, and I would slap that on my dream board and nothing would happen. A year would go by and I'd say, okay, fine. I want to move to a beach city in California. And nothing would happen. I was so desperate to leave that town. I was so miserable there. I was so repressed and constricted and shut off. I had no community because what are those Bible Belt people going to do with a woman like me? It was so fucking terrible. I can't even express to you the trauma of living in East Texas that had on my soul, because it just wasn't the perfect place for us. Finally, in a frustrated, desperate plea to the universe, I screamed, God, I don't know where the perfect place for us is because I only know about specific places. I don't know everywhere in the universe. I don't know what towns there are, but you do. Send us to the perfect place for us. Send us to a place where I can thrive, where I can parent without all of this garbage influence on my children. Send me to a place where I can be creative, where there's opportunity, where there are like-minded thinkers, and I won't be so fucking alone on my spiritual journey. As soon as I opened it up, as soon as I declared, God, universe, you are smarter than me. You know much more than I know. You also know what this family needs and where the perfect place for us is. Please send us there. Send us there, like, right now. Within 3 months, we were invited to move to Greeley was the new town, but I was done with fucking farming towns and that kind of fucking energy. But there was this city that sounded ideal, Fort Collins, Colorado. And we were given $20,000 to make the move, $20,000 to buy a new house, $20,000 to set that house up, set up a life, $20,000 to move to the perfect place for us. So that is a major piece of wisdom. Do not get specific. Don't fucking do it. You are not smarter than the universe. I don't care how intelligent you are or how much you think you're tuning into your soul or what you have visioned and imagined and how many mantras you do. You are not smarter than the universe. And the universe, if the universe does have your back, which I promise you, my faith has wavered on that. When times have gotten hard, my faith has wavered on that. I will admit it. But somewhere inside of you, if you are on a spiritual path, you have to believe that there is something that is smarter than you, that is a higher power, that can see more than you, just by the very virtue that they can see more than you can see, with all of the complex components in the universe and all of the potential opportunities. That is what you want guiding you. That is what you want putting you in a place. And to demand that you get a specific job title, that you get a specific partner, marriage, person, that you get a specific house or whatever it is that you're demanding, yeah, you can probably make the universe give it to you. You could probably insist on it and demand it so fucking hard that you can make it happen. And it does not prevent that thing that with your tiny little brain and your big ass arrogant ego does not prevent that from being a detrimental, miserable, painful, horrible experience. I'm going to say that again. You can demand what you want, what you desire in your little tiny speck of dust way, and you might get it. But that doesn't mean it will be fun. It doesn't mean it will be feeling good. It does not mean that it will produce the desired feelings or, accomplishment or well-being or fulfillment. If it's the wrong thing, it will not produce what you truly desire. Friends, I have fought that I cannot tell you how many times. I have fought it and I have fought it and I have fought it and I have fought it. No, I want this. I want this thing. I want this desire to be met. And I want it now. But you get there, right? And maybe some of you have experienced this. Probably a lot of you have. You have made the six figures. You have built that business. You have published that book. You have gotten married to that person. You have demanded and gotten that job title. You have moved to that city that you just knew was going to be perfect for you. And then you've sat there and thought, wait, this is it? Like the payoff I was going for isn't here. And that is because you were too specific in your demands. There are a few exceptions to this, however. And I would love to go into more detail about that, but I'll just simply say you have a right to get the red car if you're looking for a red car. Objects are one of my favorite things to do in law of attraction because they're tangible and you can see the evidence. Baby, I could tell you about how I attracted my red van and I am still rocking that baby. Over 250,000 miles have been put on that van. That van has taken me everywhere I want to go. I have put entire apartments worth of furniture in that van. It is mama's pickup truck. And every time I think about, oh, maybe I want a sedan, a cute little Mercedes that's, got a convertible. Oh my God, I want that van. I want that van to run forever. I get in that van and I tell that van, I love you. Thank you so much for being my freedom and my dependability. I love you so much. And I was extremely specific in what I wanted that van to be, what color I wanted it to be, the leather seats, the automatic doors, the price. I demanded a completely unreasonable price. that I wanted to pay for that van. Oh, that car salesman, he laughed at me. And I just walked away and I said, call me when that van's available. And 3 weeks later, he did. And I have had the most brilliantly beautiful experience with that van. I have attracted exactly the couches I wanted, exactly the shoes, exactly the camera. Objects, friends. Objects are a great training ground. And there's little damage you can do to yourself. But when you start demanding certain feelings, certain things to happen in your health or your career or how you want your children to behave, that's when things can get messy. And that's what I want to go in depth with you about. And I want to take you to a place that's far deeper and that will get you so much more out of life and will prevent so many disasters, right? You don't have to see the disaster coming. You could be right in the middle of it and be like, how did this happen? I asked for this. And I'm telling you, you have asked for the thing that caused whatever chaos you're in to happen by asking for something that is dangerous to ask for. See, I have so much to say about this, but I'm already 46 minutes in, and so I have to wrap it up. I want to talk about this thing I call 100 things, where you acknowledge and you wrap up and you see what you have harvested. And this needs to be done in November, because that's when we give thanks. That is what we give Thanksgiving. And sometimes in November, I find that people have forgotten what their intentions were. Things have happened that they asked for, but they have forgotten that they happened. And so this process, 100 things, will bring all of that back to you. And it is not about your money. I mean, that can be a thing, right? It can be a thing that you put on your 100 things. But this is deeper than that. This is about your relationships. This is about your personal growth. This is about boundaries you set that you wouldn't have set before. This is about learning something about your soul or going deeper into your spiritual path. This is a holistic view of your life, not an accounting of your bottom line, your profit margin, the house you bought. Those things are all a piece of it, but they're not the most important piece of it. The next thing we do is the joy ROI, a joy return on investment. You are human capital. You are your human capital. You're a body. You're a being. You're a spiritual being. You're a soul. You're an energy. You're a spark of light. And the goal, I know it's been sold to us, like ridiculously sold to us, that, you know, you should have an Instagram perfect life and you should have this many followers and you should make this much money and you should have this kind of house and you should have this kind of car and you should be in this kind of social group. But those things are not the things necessarily that will bring you joy. And again, our brains are tiny little blah. Our feelings are not necessarily reliable in the moment. Our soul is not necessarily our feelings. However, feelings should never be ignored or shut down, right? So there are paradoxes in this, but the joy ROI is a process that allows us to sit down and look at the numbers. It is a process that allows us to sit down and look at how we're experiencing the predominant things that take up our time, that take up our energy, the relationships, what we're doing in our business, how it's making us feel, right? So it's a proper accounting of your life as a whole. Then we have the soul whispering meditation that allows us to go deep into what it is that your deeper, higher self wants, where you can shut down all of the outside voices, including your parents and your children and your husband and your boss and your neighbors and the PTA and the church ladies and all of the people and influences and Fox News and CNN and Instagram and Facebook, and it's going to enlighten you in a way that will lead to joy, that will lead to the next right thing, that will lead you to what you truly want. I cannot tell you how many times I have declared what I wanted that had nothing to do with what I truly wanted at a soul level. I cannot tell you what kind of disasters I have seen people get themselves into because they want what they think they want. They want to demand that they want something they don't want. You can chase something you don't really want because everybody else wants you to want it. And in fact, I'm looking at my dream boards right now and I'm seeing all kinds of ways that I have done that, demanded that the universe give me what I'm supposed to want because I'm getting so much pressure from people in my life to want that. You have to want this. That's what you have to want. That's how it's done. That's the formula. I'm demanding that you want what you don't want. And I have tried to demand that of myself, and I have seen other people demand that they want what they don't want, try to force themselves into wanting what they don't want, and it never turns out good, and the consequences are real. I also truly want to help you understand how this works, right? Not just in the, I got a car, I made six figures, the bullshit that you're hearing regurgitated over and over and over that actually has a tremendous lack of experience, a tremendous lack of insight, and can be extremely damaging and shaming and actually produce really, really, like, I don't even want to say bad results. I want to say results that have consequences you didn't see coming. And I would like to help you avoid that. This is going to be a course that I want to go deep in this. I really want to teach you what I know about choosing your word for the decade and how, oh my God, I've seen that go wrong so many times. And I've also understood within myself that there is a price to getting to that word. If you declare perfect health over yourself, every hidden little ailment in your body will rise to the surface, and it'll do it quickly, and it will do it all at once if you're doing 1 year dream boards. I have lost teeth because I declared perfect health and there was a minor, you know, chronic infection that I didn't know about because it wasn't causing acute pain until I declared perfect health and I bit into an almond and it cracked that tooth in half and it had to come out. That was not a super fun experience, but it was blocking me from what I declared I wanted, which was perfect health. I declare that I want a certain kind of marriage, and if I am with a partner who cannot meet those needs, I am going to have a divorce. If I declare that I want to be happy, I have to wade through every belief, every feeling, every trauma, every circumstance, every person that is blocking me from getting to happy. So our simplistic definitions of law of attraction can actually come with a very big price, and you should understand what that price is before you make such a major decision, because these, my friends, they're major decisions. They will take you in a direction that is not entirely in your control. It is a lie that you can control everything in your life. And anyone who tells you that you have complete control over your feelings, anyone who tells you that if you're just saying positive thoughts all the time and insisting on your Instagram life, anyone tells you that that is going to inoculate you from pain and anxiety and overwhelm and burnout and trauma is a lie and a high. There are people who are selling you a high that's false. They're selling you a lie that's false. There is a price. These are big choices. Law of attraction does not eliminate cause and effect. It can produce miracles, that's for sure, but it can also enact, trigger, enforce, start the roll of the snowball down the hill through a painful time that you're not ready for, or that is not in alignment with what you're actually wanting to do right now, that is not giving you the rest and the space to properly incorporate and process and integrate the work that you're doing along the way. So my friends, I truly would love to help you, and I'm going to invite you to go into this deep work with me. And I will freely share. I will also help you edit. I know a lot about consequences. I know a lot about the sneaky ways the universe could creep in there and throw something up for you that you didn't see coming. Because as I've said, I have researched the heck out of this. I have taken notes. I have experimented with my own life and watched other people experiment with theirs. I have seen the kind of trickery, and I also have a really deep insight into connections that most people don't make between what their intentions are. Words matter, and I am a wordsmith. I love words. They are my craft. They are my power. They are my weapon. They are my great love affair. Don't take this on alone. You may think, oh, I'll just do this myself, but I promise you, you cannot see what's coming. You cannot control what is coming. You are limited to your own emotions, thoughts, brain, knowledge. So, TracySue.com/safe space. That's TRACEE.com. I'm sorry, Sue, SIOUX.com/safe space is where I'm going to have this course. I'd love to interact with you there. I'd love to help you work out what it is you truly want and where you've been and where you want to go. I'd love to help you make sense of what is confusing and confounding. And I would love to help you do that in a very personal, hands-on way with, you know, some editing and share what I know about this. And I would like to take it there. I also have a survey there that you can take going directly to the survey, or you can join Safe Space. And the survey is at TracySue.com/survey says. And it essentially is asking you what you would like to create together, what kind of contribution and collaboration you're interested in. And I very much, it is so helpful for me to understand that, because it really does truly take a lot of energy, time, money, resources for me to create something like a course or an extended series about topics. So if you're not interested in that, please spare me of going to the effort and spinning my wheels and trying to put something out there that no one wants to buy or no one wants to participate in. So even if you're not interested in anything, please come on and tell me that, and tell me why. And also tell me what certain things are worth to you, what you're wanting to contribute in your collaboration. This helps me so much to save me energy and time and effort. And oh my God, I have spent the last 15 years spinning my wheels a lot, and it depletes me. It costs me something. There is a price. So take pity on me and help me create an economy of effort that does not drain me dry. Thank you so much for clicking and giving me your time and attention. I appreciate it greatly. Namaste.